I'd like to call to order the Genoa Township Board of Trustees regular trustee meeting for February 1st, 2018. The time is now 6:30 p.m. Mr. Myers, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
I didn't have my microphone on.
Oh, go ahead.
Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. Thank you. And Mr. Myers is here also. For the record, this meeting of the Genoa Township Trustees is being audio recorded and a written summary will be published after approval. The audio recording and any reference to resolutions and documents are official records, and the written summary is a secondary summation of this meeting. If a discrepancy exists between the audio recording and the written summary, the audio recording will have precedence. If all or any portion of the audio recording is inaudible or unavailable, the written summary of that portion or portions will be used in lieu of the audio recording. Copies of the audio recording and the written summary of the meeting are available on Genoa Township's website, genoatwp.com, or by contacting the fiscal office. I would now like to ask our Township Administrator, Mr. Paul Wise, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, as this is Ohio Township Day.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Wise. Also present this evening, we have Chief Steve Gammel from the Police Department, Fire Chief Gary Honeycutt, Joe Schaefer, Director of Zoning, Bob Matthews from Maintenance, we have Mr. Wise from Administration, Linda Greco from Human Resources, and Leslie Strader from Communications. We will begin this evening with public comment. If anyone would like to make a comment, please come forward to the microphone and be sure that you state your name and address as we are recording this. Seeing no public comment at this time, we'll move on to the fiscal officer's report.
Thank you. I just have a couple things. First, I'd ask for approval of the trustee meeting minutes. Two special meetings, December 12th, December 20th.
I move to approve the following trustee meeting minutes: December 12, 2017, special trustee meeting; December 20th, 2017, special trustee meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Mr. Myers?
Roll call. Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. They have been approved.
Okay, thank you. I'll have the financials, year-end financials for you for your signature. Adjusted balance for year-end, $16,330,720.61. That breaks down to the pooled investments of $11,361,613.89, and the Genoa primary account of $4,969,106.72. And everything is balanced, and I'll have that for your review and signature. If you have any questions, feel free to let me know. And then the last thing, and I'll ask Bob or Paul to chime in on this as well, it's a snow removal issue. We need to amend the permanent appropriation for gas and tax fund and then have that money available for additional snow removal. So we'd like to, I'd ask permission to do that, please.
Okay. I move to amend the 2018 permanent appropriation for the gasoline tax refund purchase services from $0 to $50,000. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Could you further explain that, Pat?
So, go ahead, Paul. You were about to speak. I'm sorry.
We're going to amend the budget because we're almost out of funds in the 2031 360 account, and the only place we have it is in the gas tax to supplement the budget.
So essentially what we're doing is the appropriation will be at $50,000 for gas tax, and then we'll do a blanket purchase order for operating supplies, and that $50,000 will move to that purchase order so that we can use it to pay for snow removal going in the rest of 2018. So the money's there, we're just moving it to be available to us to use for snow removal.
So if at the end of the season we have money remaining in that account, can it be moved back, or do we just keep it there? Or
what's could, the, but with the funds that are available, once you move it there, it can be used for anything that supplies for maintenance.
Okay.
Excuse me. I guess we are 1 month in, and I guess I'm somewhat confused as to why this wasn't budgeted in our 2018 appropriations.
We budgeted all we could in 2031 because we had to meet the certificate from the county.
Okay, but there's other places that we can use funds for snow removal.
Not in a line item we can spend out of it. We'd have to do something different.
We've got contracting services. We've got all kinds of different accounts.
All the contracting services have been spent.
In 2018?
Yep.
We basically are using the gas tax account because we didn't appropriate very much out of there going into the season. The money is there at our disposal to use, but we didn't appropriate it for the year. So this is why we need to do this, so that we can utilize the funds. In case it does snow heavily again, we want to make sure that the residents have adequate coverage.
But I think at one of the previous meetings, Bob, I raised a question. I'm not even sure you were here. We are just getting into February, so we still have probably 2 months at least. It seems like we've been spending a lot more on contract services for the cul-de-sacs. I understand the issue with the cul-de-sacs and that center part that our snow plows can't reach. And so just to clean the entire cul-de-sac out. But I think, we almost have to start looking at what do we want to do and what do we need to do. And I think we have to look at those needs first and continue to project out to make sure that we're not getting ourselves in a bind when it comes to pothole season and other types of maintenance.
Yeah, and I'll be going over the expenses so far we spent in a month. And snow removal, so far in 1 month, we've spent $154,936. And only $56,000 of that's contracted for CULSAC. The rest is what we spend in overtime and all the stuff we've had to replace. Mm-hmm. But I was going to go over that in my part of the agenda tonight.
Yeah. And again, I'm not saying that what we've done up to this point has been bad. I'm just saying as we look ahead, and we're starting to have to move some money around because of that added expense. And, yeah, we've had a lot of snow this year, but I don't know if it's been a tremendous amount of snow. So I'm just saying that how are we going to be looking at these next couple months where we know we're still going to get hit in February and March, and making sure that we're – what's the priority? Is it cleaning out the center of a cul-de-sac, or is it fixing potholes?
I agree.
I don't want to belabor this point too much, but did I understand you correctly, Bob, that you just said that we're 1 month into 2018 and we've used up all of the appropriations for 2018 for snow removal or other contract services?
All the money that I put in there for snow removal, yes.
What are we going to do in November and December of 2018 then, if we've used it up already in 1 month?
Hope for no winter.
The bigger picture is funding for the road maintenance department. We're going into, the second month of the year, and, when the levy committee was set up last time, Connie was on the committee, we knew that things were going to be tight like this going into the latter parts of that levy cycle we kept the money down for the residents, and now we did mention in levy committee meetings that if they start looking like they were going to run out, maybe we can look at an additional millage or something. I mean, the committee mentioned that last time, and their crystal ball, it's come true We are actually tight on the funds in the maintenance department, so that's something when the trustees look at levy amounts and renewals, that adequate funding would be helpful for that account. And Bob's going to go very conservative on how he handles snow going forward, especially with the, he might reserve the number of people going out to take care of the mains and deal with others on a regular time.
I think it's important to recognize, too, that we have added a few road miles that would also use up some additional funding.
Not a material number. Not a material number. But it still gets back to the point where I'm concerned that this was not budgeted for. You know, why didn't we put $50,000 from the gasoline tax fund into snow removal as an appropriation?
Because we're going to use the gas tax for road repairs.
And I guess that's, I'm looking at it as a bigger picture. If you look at the entire budget, Bob, that you have for roads, mm-hmm. everything, are we better served to spend it removing snow that, let's face it, eventually is going to move, it's going to be removed one way or the other, or really making sure that the roads get repaired after the winter, construction, paving, chip and seal, all that. So that's what I'm looking at.
My thought is it needs to be saved for the road repairs.
So coming up with a plan on, you know, whether it's what Bob was or Paul was talking about was, are you hitting the mains, maybe doing, I don't know, brining is less expensive than having the trucks out there. You've been around, you've done this enough that you know what, how we can cut the corners and still keep our roads safe. But in a bigger picture, we've got to look at, I think, after the winter season, and how does that affect us.
Okay. And just for an instance, the last 2 years, we have not spent more than $20,000 in salt.
Right.
So far this year, we spent $71,000 in salt.
It's been a different winter. I mean, it's been worse than what we've had. But it's, there have been years where it's been worse than what we've had this year, too. Yeah.
I guess if you're saying that we should, your preference is to use the gasoline fund for road repairs, that seems to contradict this request for an additional appropriation.
It does, but I got to have some way of hiring somebody. If we get a 12-inch snow, we don't have enough people to clear a 12-inch snow.
If we got a 12-inch snow, what would the delay be?
Pardon me?
If we didn't do this appropriation and we reappropriation and we got 12 inches of snow, what would the delay cause? Are we talking it would be a 4-hour delay till it got everything? Is it a 6 hours, a 12 hours, a 24 hours? What are we talking about?
You're looking probably for our people after they're going around the clock, you're probably looking at 3 or 4 days.
Well, the delay is you don't have the money to spend. That's the other issue. Where here, at least you have the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be up to you to decide how that money is going to be spent, depending on the situation that happens. So it's not a matter of 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. It's a matter of 2 weeks, 4 weeks, in order to get, or a special meeting to make an appropriation. So I think that's what he's saying, is he needs to have money right now in the event there's a problem or a big snow, ice, whatever, that the money is there. How that money is spent.
Yeah, it's not going to be spent.
Is discretionary on your part.
It's not going to be spent just on a whim.
Right.
Additional discussion?
No.
Mr. Myers.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Okay. And then the next one, I move to approve a blanket purchase order in the amount of $50,000 from the gasoline tax fund for miscellaneous operating supplies.
There is
a second. Okay. Discussion?
Now, is this relevant, related to the revised permanent appropriation that we just passed?
Yes.
This says operating supplies. The previous one said purchase services. Which one is it?
It's coming out of $20,330, $330, $360, so it's contracted services.
So this motion is incorrect that we just made. It does not have account numbers, but it says miscellaneous operating supplies.
It's not an operating supply. It's contracted services.
So I will amend my motion to remove operating supplies and insert contracted operations. Is that services?
Contracted services.
Contracted services. Is there a second to the amendment?
Second.
Thank you.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. Motion passes.
Okay. That's all I have.
Thank you. Let's move on to trustee comments. That out to each of you. We'll begin with the state of the township address. Each year in a meeting in February, it is customary for the chair of the Board of Trustees to provide the State of the Township address. It is my honor and pleasure this year to present this on behalf of the board. As I began writing this, I asked each department to give me their top three accomplishments in 2017. I looked at the lists and thought, what would I have chosen had I been in their position? I realized quickly how difficult it must have been for them to call out only three. I was impressed by how humble each department is about what they do so competently for us as residents. Although I added to each department's top three accomplishments, I am sure that much more has happened behind the scenes that I will not have captured tonight. The Road and Bridge Department, often referred to as maintenance, is responsible for much of our infrastructure. This past year, Freeman Road, Hillmar Drive, and Medallion West Drive were resurfaced. A heat welding machine was purchased by Genoa Township to assist in reducing costs of road repair and extending the length of time throughout the year in which road repair can be completed. Pipe installations to resolve drainage issues were completed on Charles Road, Sugar Maple Drive, and Lake Drive. ADA ramps were repaired or replaced on Hillmar Drive, Medallion Drive West, and in Venmar Farms. Delaware County, Franklin County, and the City of Westerville also had a hand in road projects impacting Genoa Township, including reconfiguration and installation of a signal light at the intersection of Big Walnut and Worthington Roads. Sunbury Road was widened, and a trail now runs along the roadway, linking Genoa's trail to Hoover Reservoir at Maxtown and Sunbury Roads. There were a lot of detours in 1 year, but the improvements had made daily commutes easier. Construction on South Old 3C Highway continues with an expected completion date of fall 2018. The second phase of this Delaware County project has been delayed until 2020 or beyond. Helping Bob Matthews manage this workload is one of our newest hires, Charlie Mastenbrook, who is the deputy director overseeing issues related to roads, bridges, parks, buildings, and grounds. Township parks are an amenity often mentioned favorably by residents. During 2017, a basketball court funded by donations was added to Center Green Park, thus being a no-cost recreational improvement. Wildflower beds were expanded as no-mow areas, thus providing a cost savings to the township for maintaining grounds. The wildflowers also created an important wildlife habitat for butterflies. Baby changing stations were installed in all permanent park restrooms, and history was preserved at McNamara Park when the barn there received a much-needed painting. Through the hard work of Genoa's Parks Committee, we enjoyed events including Fishing Day and movie nights. We can't forget to mention the new sledding hill in Jaycox Road Park, where a previously unsightly mound of debris was converted into a sledding hill after receiving approval from the Ohio EPA. What a great winter to have a sledding hill with more snow than we've had in the past 3 years. Of course, all that snow has meant that our plow drivers have had a busy year trying to keep up with the continuous snowfall. They've certainly met and exceeded that challenge. The colder weather also provided an opportunity for our fire department to conduct training on ice water rescues. All Genoa Township firefighters and EMTs are cross-trained and thus ready to respond to any emergency within and around our township. Their participation in required training activities and compliance with departmentally mandated physical standards ensures that they are ready for anything that comes their way. In 2017, they responded to 1,861 fire EMS calls. A recent series in the Columbus Dispatch pointed out the more silent dangers faced by these folks: cancer caused by residual carcinogens remaining in their equipment. To help defray the cost of keeping our equipment updated, a Bureau of Workers' Compensation grant for $10,000 was awarded for a washer extractor to assist in firefighter cancer prevention. An additional EMS equipment grant for over $5,000 was also secured. In 2017, EMS soft billing was enacted. This program allows us to bill users of our medical transport services, with most of these reimbursements being paid by insurance companies. No Genoa Township resident will ever incur a personal bill as a result of this change. EMS soft billing is expected to net over $175,000 per year to our fire department fund. The department manages a program which allows a homeowner to securely leave a key at their residence in a locked box only accessible by Genoa's fire EMT personnel should they have to enter a home for a fire or a medical emergency. This program has become so popular that these locked boxes are now being stocked for purchase at the fire department. The Fire EMS Advisory Committee was created this past year to provide resident input into relevant topics. Finally, our firefighters and EMTs, as well as their department staff, have coordinated charitable events, including the toy and food drive and the collection of leftover Halloween candy to be sent to our active duty soldiers. Genoa Township's Police Department has experienced several points of pride during 2017. The department gained reaccreditation through CALEA, the Commission on Law Enforcement Accreditation, and they became accredited through the Ohio Collaborative, a set of rigorous standards set by the Governor's Task Force. Each day, our officers excel in their duties, potentially putting themselves in harm's way by facing the unexpected. In 2017, they responded to 5,917 calls for service. One recognition of note is Officer Ryan Miller, who received the Top Cop Award from the Delaware County Prosecutor and the Service Above Self Award from the Rotary Club for multiple life-saving actions. The Student Resource Officer contract was renewed in 2017, thus providing a police presence in Westerville schools and a trusted adult to protect and support students. The department's presence on Facebook and Nextdoor keeps residents and others informed of events and situations within and around our township. Coffee with a Cop, Cram a Cruiser, the National Night Out, the Citizens Police Academy, and the self-defense classes are just a few of the very successful initiatives sponsored by our police department. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the appreciation that so many of our residents have expressed for our chief's wry sense of humor in many of his posts. Our police advisory committee has been instrumental in assessing our current police facility and recommending the need for a new structure. They will be researching this further and reporting to the trustees no later than April 5th, 2018. Stay tuned for more on this topic. The Zoning and Development Office under Director Joe Schaefer has had a very busy year. They processed 305 zoning permits, 10 Board of Zoning Appeals cases, 6 Zoning Commission cases, often resulting in several meetings, and 2 public nuisance declarations. A complete assessment of the Genoa Township zoning resolution was coordinated and completed with an outside legal source that specializes in zoning law, thus assisting us in determining areas in which we may not be compliant or be unclear. The Zoning Commission is working currently to update the zoning resolution to ensure we are compliant and clear throughout. The case of Reed versus the Town of Gilbert changed the way most jurisdictions nationwide viewed signage regulations. As such, our Zoning Commission and Mr. Schaefer researched, drafted, and presented to the trustees an amendment to the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution for signs and definitions that will bring us back into compliance with current case law and implement one of the recommendations of the Zoning Resolution Assessment. Our Human Resources Department is responsible for coordinating health insurance and the Bureau of Workers' Compensation programs. During 2017, under the watchful direction of Linda Greco, Genoa Township moved to a different insurance broker, CBIZ, where a three-year contract resulted in a savings of $16,000. We also transitioned to Prairie State's third-party administrators and Mayo Clinic pharmacy manager for a fixed cost savings of $104,000 annually, as well as increased services that will help us control costs. Participation in all Bureau of Workers' Compensation programs provided $38,000 in rebates, and we received a $66,000 rebate for the billion-dollar program. All of these combined provided a total savings of $224,000. Human Resources also worked with the trustees to update our personnel policy handbook. In addition to our management of our insurance programs, Ms. Greco coordinates our highly successful Easter egg hunt and the trick-or-treat village, including soliciting and guiding our many volunteers, without whom these events would not be possible. Director of Communications Leslie Strader accomplished the monumental task of launching Genoa Township's new website. After conducting focus groups, a survey, and interviewing several website developers, our website came to fruition with an updated, cleaner look. You can find Genoa Township on Facebook, Twitter, Nextdoor, YouTube, as well as in your email inbox. Ms. Strader posts original content to these sites nearly every day, including on weekends and holidays. No matter the platform, Genoa Township publications created by this department present a 21st century image to our users. Maps are an important communication tool, and therefore a variety of maps have been created, including those on bulletin boards in our parks, a Google Street View of our trail system, and interactive maps for online parks and recreation, school districts, road construction, and development projects. Ms. Strader captures photographs and videos of the township that tell a story about life here in Genoa. A video was produced every other month in 2017, corresponding with the featured article within the resident newsletter. Topics featured in 2017 were township parks and open spaces, movie nights, police specialized units, and community gardens. Under the direction of Fiscal Officer Pat Myers, Genoa Township continues to be financially sound. Mr. Myers and his assistant, Donna Batten, work closely with the trustees and department heads on managing expenses. In a several-year low-interest rate environment, we have been able to maximize our investments through a laddered approach on CD and bond purchases. We also received a clean audit from OPERS, the Ohio Public Employees Retirement System. As Township Administrator, all departments report to Paul Wise. In addition, Mr. Wise assumed a leadership role in negotiating our recent three-year contract with Rumpke. This resulted in no change to services, with only minimal monthly fee increase and the retention of the senior discount. Mr. Wise was also instrumental in coordinating negotiations for a three-year extension of the electric aggregation program at a cost reduction. Both of these contracts were unanimously approved by the trustees. Finally, Township Administrator Paul Wise was awarded the Genoa Township Business Association 2017 Public Servant of the Year. Congratulations, Paul. As we look toward 2017, we face many challenges that are similar to any government entity and some unique to Genoa Township. Staying at or under budget is a continual challenge. We must continue to exhaust all possible funding options, grants, matching funds, donations, etc., before dipping into our own funds. We must also seek investments that safely maximize the returns we receive on our monies. Our police and fire EMS union contracts will be up for renewal, with our overall goal of reaching an amicable agreement for both sides. Our road and bridge levy will expire in 2019, and so an ad hoc committee comprised of residents will be formed in 2018 to make a recommendation to the trustees. Finally, the trustees will receive the recommendation on a new police facility and deliberate possible options. In conclusion, the state of Genoa Township is strong. We are very fortunate to have so many highly qualified and dedicated staff. We are also privileged to have so many residents who are supportive of our township, many of whom volunteer countless hours on committees and at events. To all our staff and residents, we thank you for your dedication and commitment to keeping Genoa Township a nice place to live and look forward to serving you in 2018. Thank you. Okay. Good. And at this point, we will move into other trustee comments.
I just have one question, Connie. I was wondering, well, not for you, but for probably Paul and the department heads, what is the status of revising all of the employee goal 2018 goals?
I believe we're going to have a, as promised, we're going to have a training on goal writing. I think we discussed that before, which we haven't done yet because of the busy nature of the township given January. But that's the first step, and then the other step would be then once we have those trainings then to deal with the goals.
I think we've got a target
goal of March 31, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Is that still on track to meet that for all employees?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Additional?
Nope, that's all I have.
Trustee Gephardt.
I'm fine for now.
Okay. Very good. Let's move on then to communications. Ms. Strader.
So you all asked that I audit the website. Over the past couple months, I went to work on that task, verifying links, verifying documents that were there, adding contact information on each page of the website, adding metadata, which is the is basically what makes that search engine work better on our homepage. Adding cover photos on to relevant to the topic of each page, verifying the side navigation matches the top navigation, deleting blank pages that maybe were in the original structure but are no longer relevant to our website. So some interesting analytics I thought you guys might just be interested to know. Part of this process is I look at Google Analytics on the website maybe every day, every other day, depending on how busy I am, to see what people are looking for, what they're interested in. And that helps me refine the metadata that I put into the website. It also helps me know what kinds of topics people want to hear about on Facebook, you know, just things people want more information on. So in the past 30 days, the top word searches have been zoning map, trash. So there are some holidays in there. You see that pop up around those holidays when people are unsure. The Sledding Hill was the third on the list, so people are pretty excited about that. The Sledding Hill.
Sledding Hill.
So people are pretty excited about that. Road projects, election results, employment and jobs, leaf pickup, recycling, ordinance, pretty vague. As you get down the list, it's fewer and fewer people looking for these things, but police, post office, public hearings, and the list really goes on and on. But this is important data that I'm looking at regularly. So this task, although it's done, it's really never done. I have many more projects pertaining to the website that I'm continuing to work on, and I actually have one that I'd like to highlight for you guys tonight because it's kind of fun. we have a very interesting resident who has a really cool job working for Amazon. He's on the Alexa team, Jeff Blankenberg. And he reached out to us saying that he would like to develop an Alexa feature where you could ask your Alexa, if you guys have, everybody know what that is? It's like your Dot or, anyway. So you can ask Alexa questions about Genoa Township. So you could ask, for example, when is trash day? You know, we could align them with these search questions we're getting. You could ask them, who are the board of trustees? So anyway, there's a beta version already of this, and so I'd like to see if we can get it to work. Alexa, open Genoa Township.
Welcome. What can I help you with?
Tell me about the Board of Trustees.
You want to know more about Board of Trustees? It is the mission of the Board of Trustees to guide and manage the development of Genoa Township in a manner that retains or enhances the quality of life of its residents. The current members of the Board of Trustees are the Chair, Connie Goodman, Vice Chair, Frank D'Antonio, and the third trustee is Carl Gebhardt. More information has been written to your Alexa app. What do you want to know about?
Paul Wise.
Ah, you're asking me about Paul Wise. He is the township administrator. When he is not at work, he enjoys cuddling with his tiny dog.
I knew Paul would appreciate that one, so I had to throw in a joke. But it basically shows you that Jeff has given me the ability to customize the answers. You get your audio answer, but then also on the screen pops up a picture and text that can be different than the audio. So it's just one more way that we can try to reach our residents and also a different demographic, because we know Facebook tends to be more women using Facebook, and Pat Myers, women and Pat Myers mostly. It's just another way to reach people, and it's pretty exciting that he would think of us for this. He actually teaches developers how to create their own skills for Alexa. So that means that Genoa Township is being talked about around the entire world as he goes and gives presentations and uses us as an example. So it's really exciting to have this partnership with a resident on a really new cutting-edge thing.
That is really cool. I don't have Alexa or any of those things, but I do have a question related to that.
Sure.
I know there's the Amazon Echo, there's Alexa, there's all these different ones. Do they somehow, once you do one of them, propagate to the others? Or are they all separate developments?
They all, I'm not an Amazon Alexa expert or anything, but all those devices just have different features, so they can all be tied into your one account. So, like, I could ask the questions I was just asking on my cell phone, I can ask at home to my Dot, and I'd get the same responses, if that helped. I don't know if that really hits
that
your...
That helps. What I was curious is if Genoa Township were interested, if we'd have to do this with each company.
No.
But no, it's...
No,
so
it's
the,
all...
The Google one will be different. Like,
yeah.
You're talking about the Google Home, which is different than that one.
That's okay. That's a good point.
It would have to be an Amazon product, because he's from AWS.
I got it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I believe so. That's a good point.
It's one of those novice questions.
Yeah. Probably. So this is just beta right now. It's just something... You know, that is in this developer area, but looking forward to launching it and getting it in the hands of residents so we can...
What would be the cost of something like that?
There's no cost. Realistically, you have to get up to 1 million uses before there is a fee, and then there's a waiver. So he does not anticipate this would cost us anything.
Okay. The collection of the data analytics that you referred to, which is good information. None of that is traceable by individual person. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Okay, good.
What are the, can you give some estimation on numbers or actual numbers? I mean, you gave the topics, but I mean, how many people, does it break it down that far?
It does, but by page. So I know what the top most visited pages are. I don't have the numbers right in front of me at the moment for how many visitors to each, but I can pull that for you if you're interested.
Again, I just think that's interesting information that, you know, residents may be putting on Facebook or, you know, on the website they have an interest in, just as since we're just getting it launched, kind of gives an idea.
Yeah, the data goes very deep, so I know, like, how many seconds people are on each page and things like that.
But I think to Frank's point, too, I think it's important to let people know that, you know, it's not traceable and we're not looking to see who's
not traceable.
Looking at what.
Just using it to make sure that we're giving people the information they need.
Right.
I've gotten a few searches on mailbox replacement, so that led me to adding metadata on the page that talks about that. Says exactly what they're thinking the search term should be.
Yeah.
So they find the information on
that. Wouldn't we then take, just a question, wouldn't we take, if over time those top three are still the top three, then do we look at it and go, let's make that even more visible for the resident to get to, let's really put it out there, because clearly that's where our residents are going, and they shouldn't have to click three times to get to it, because that's what they want, let's make sure it's one click. Right?
Exactly, yeah, and I've already done that a little bit, because the records from this meeting and zoning meetings seem to be so important to folks. The six big blue buttons on the front, two of those are dedicated to just that topic. So it is one click to get to minutes, audio, all that.
Is there a way for a taxpayer to, instead of a topic to search, is there a way for them to ask a question?
They're on each department. Each department has a FAQ page. So we try to address most of the common questions up front. If not, then there's the Citizen Request Center, which is also one click away, just on the front page. They click that, select, you know, whatever their issue is, and it automatically sends us a message with whatever the question is. So we get a few of those, and...
If you're comparing it to a Google search, Google's going out everywhere, right? We're looking for it. Our search is only going for what's on that site. So to ask it a question, it's not going to be smart enough to say, you know, what is Pat Myers' address? It might just bring me up. It's Pat Myers. Or Google will go out everywhere to find that, right? So, I mean,
we want to
ask a question in the search.
We want our search to be only Genoa
based.
Yeah. We don't want it to be Google or Yahoo based.
In order to ask a question, it would probably be tough because
It would have to direct to a specific page that already exists
what
on
I'm,
our website.
What I'm, maybe I wasn't clear. Mm-hmm. Can we use the website as a communication tool to send a question to you?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, I don't care if it's a FAQ or not.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
What are the office hours of the police department or the fire department or administration? If they didn't want to look that up, could they ask that question and would we respond?
Like a chat? I guess I'm having trouble envisioning how they would send the question to
us. You contact us. You click on contact us and you put your email in and say, what's your question? And then somebody would monitor that and email back.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the Citizens Request Center, they send us questions and it comes directly to the appropriate staff person and they respond. They do that now. I'm trying to think how else that could work.
It's called a Citizens Request Center?
That's how it's titled on the front page.
I don't know that I would know what that meant, to go to that to ask a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's linked in a variety of different words on lots of different pages, but that's the fastest way to get to it from the home page.
So we do have that feature that we can ask. Somebody can ask a question, and somebody is going to respond.
Yeah, of course.
Great. Mm-hmm.
So is the question and the response public, or is that...
No.
Okay, so if I ask a question, the response comes directly back to me and is not like a message board or something like
Correct.
That.
Correct. Okay. Not a message board, yeah.
Is that...
We also have everybody's contact information is there in a staff directory. So if you did have, like, let's say you had an idea, you met somebody in maintenance, but you weren't sure who, you just knew they seemed like they were in charge, you could type in maintenance, and it would just bring up just the you know, three people we have listed, and you could say, oh, okay, it was the director for sure. I remember, oh, yeah, it was Bob, you know, and then you have his email address and his phone number, so every staff person, it's searchable. You could, someone thought my name maybe is Lisa or something, they start typing in L, and then all the L names come up.
Okay. So. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Thank you. Okay. Leafs, I think, dropped off the script, but they're on the agenda, so.
Yeah, I have no agenda items for tonight.
No?
No.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Human resources.
Good evening. Just an easy one tonight. We have the Easter egg hunt coming up on March the 24th, Saturday, March 24th, and I would like to just make the request for the blanket purchase order in the amount of $3,500 so that we can proceed. We've got a lot of I've got a lot of it in the works already, but I do need to purchase some things now.
I move to authorize a blanket purchase order in the amount of $3,500 for the 2018 Easter egg hunt.
Second.
Seconded. Any discussion?
Linda, what does how much did we appropriate for 2017?
It's been $3,500 for ever, probably, since I've been doing this. It's an amount that we never really hit, but just in case things go up every year, especially in the last couple of years, we purchase candy, I rent things. We have to pay for the rental now of the Westerville Central High School football field, just things like that. So, but we never have hit that number.
Okay, thanks.
Linda, when will we put the notice out for volunteers? I know
I've already sent letters out. I've already sent letters out, right? And so I've got quite a list going already.
Great. The event.
And you did say March 24th.
March 24th, Westerville Central High School starts at 10, ends around right after 15 minutes after the egg hunt. So, yeah. So it's we usually say it's 10 to 12. Say.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not. Right.
Okay, and we'll get that on the website then soon for that date.
So Leslie has all the information, right, and so everything's going out. She's got it going everywhere, I think.
Thanks.
Is it true that the chair usually dresses up the Easter Bunny?
The chair? When they're tall enough to wear the costume.
And also goes up in the bucket to take the picture of the crowd.
Right, absolutely. Right.
The bucket's not a problem, but the costume may be. You know, yeah. I might trip over this myself.
But you're always welcome to volunteer for something.
One thing.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes.
Motion Thank
carries.
You.
Thank you. All right, maintenance.
First, I'll go over the capital equipment. I gave each of you a copy. The ones that are highlighted is the ones I'm going to talk about. The 2002 GMC, we was going to wait to replace this, but it blew up during the snowstorm and not repairable, so it's sitting. The 2005 Chevy 1-ton is overdue for replacement. We didn't think we'd have to replace it yet, but it is from the pushing of the snow, the front end's all messed up and you can't get parts for it. The Chevy Silverado, we bought a plow to put on that, so the 1-ton is being used by Buildings and Grounds, and that truck is in Buildings and Grounds, so we just bought a plow for that and put it on there just recently. And then the Glad Hill number 6 snow plow, we took the snow plow off the 2002 dump truck and put on the 2009 truck because the 2009 plow broke during the snowstorm plowing snow, and there's no metal left to weld it back up, and that plow all came apart completely. So we're down about four things, but we've worked it out that we can get by. I'm going to come back to you next month with a plan on how to get a new dump truck to replace the GMC. From what I'm being told right now, if I would order it next month, we wouldn't get it this year anyway, because that's how far they're out before the delivery on them. So I'll be coming back to you next month with a somewhat proposal of how to get a snowplow truck. Any questions?
Have we considered looking at if the timeline for a new truck is 11 months out? Have we looked at what's available on the lots? Have we looked at buying used?
We haven't been looking at used ones. I haven't found one yet, but that's the possibility that I'm going to recommend to buy a used one.
Have we looked out of state?
Not out of state. We've looked in several counties in Ohio, but haven't found one yet.
I mean, from a new perspective.
No, because usually we go off state bid, and usually they're competitive. But we might be able to pick up a decent used truck instead of buying a new one. A new one's going to cost about $150,000. But
they had several of them down at the Ohio Township Association meeting that they're probably looking not to take back to their to their dealership.
I have Paul look at them tomorrow.
Okay. Paul, they probably get a good deal. They don't want to take those things back.
They are.
And here you go.
Bob, is there much leasing in that kind of an area? I mean, with that kind of equipment or not?
Yeah, they have leasing.
Have we looked at leasing?
We've never leased, but where I was before, we leased and got good deals. Usually a big truck on a 5 or 7 year lease, and you can get a pretty good price with not much more.
So you're looking at that as an option?
Yes, I'm looking at that too.
Yep.
To piggyback on Carl's comment, and I think we did this for our pavement patching machine. I don't know what we really call that new unit that we bought, but a lease to own, where the lease payments are applied against, and then it's basically a financing lease is what it is instead of a operating lease, which then we can we're the owners at the end of that lease.
I can definitely check on that too.
Okay.
The 2018 snow removal costs, these are only through probably middle of this week. We got other expenses that we've already created for mailboxes and stuff like that that's not on there. But these are most of the expenses so far this year. The first columns up there is what we paid Clean Cul-de-Sacs, totaling $56,080. And then we moved down into material and labor. And I only counted overtime hours. And overtime hours, we spent $18,000. Salt's around $71,000. And then all the rest of it's more miscellaneous stuff, mirrors that got knocked off by trees, and parts, most of them were mirror parts and ice melt. And then that plow assembly is what we paid for the B&G Silverado that I was talking about just a minute ago. and we spent almost $99,000 in wages and overtime and parts so far this year. And we'll keep this as a running total, and I'll bring it to each meeting to keep you informed of what we're spending. And I have taken your comments tonight, and I will try to figure out how to do things better and not cost us as much. You know, I can only do what I can do, but most of the citizens don't like to hear it. They don't want to, your street ain't going to get plowed for a couple of days, but that's something that I will deal with. And I'd rather have the money than not plow your street.
Bob, at least I don't think any of us, but I'll speak for myself. I mean, it wasn't a criticism of doing things.
I didn't take it that.
I know you didn't. Just sometimes we have to do things differently because of circumstances we have. And trust me, I understand roads, and you know, ours are great. I work downtown Columbus, and you would have swore there wasn't a snowplow in the city of Columbus most of the winter. So, you know, we are very fortunate up here. But I would also, as a comparison, you know, just look year after year, how are we doing? Maybe have kind of a five-year based on trying to tie that a little bit more to the snow.
Okay.
But I know it's expensive, and we want to make sure we have the services that our residents have come to expect. But.
And unfortunately, this is going to be that year I've been talking about for several years now, because all the roads are starting to develop potholes, and they're popping from the freezing and thawing, and it's only going to get worse for the next 2 months.
Right.
So that's something we're going to have to address in the spring somehow to maintain all the potholes that we got.
Yep. I agree. It's a big challenge. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bob, on the overtime hours, are you using like a flex work day?
I have done that with some of them that are willing to take flex time. I've worked out deals with them to flex their time, yes.
Okay. So that we're shifting their work day, per se, or their 8 hours to more when the snow is falling versus when it's not falling.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's taken into account.
I just figured the $18,000 is what we've paid in overtime, not counting the flex time that I've given people off.
Right, right. Well, I'm not referring to flex time. I was referring to flex time, but I wasn't referring to it in lieu of time. I was referring to shifting their work hours. The normal work day is 8 to 5. I'm just making this up. Let's say that there is anticipated snow that's going to be coming at 3 o'clock. Do we adjust that person's work day to be from 2 o'clock to 10 o'clock instead of 8 to 5?
I have sent them home early, yes.
Right, because that's a way to manage that overtime instead of them working an 8-hour shift, some of which is, you know, waiting for the snow to fall, and then turn around and then plowing and getting overtime. So we're shift. That's what I was referring to.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
And the other thing I will mention, the last 2 weeks we have had no overtime at all. We've been working on all the equipment and stuff, but we haven't had any overtime. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Schaefer, zoning.
Trustee Goodman, I believe at this point we were going to recess.
A resignation.
Oh, you want to do that one first?
Let's do that first.
So I'll bring this memorandum around to the board here. Unfortunately, this past Monday, Zoning Secretary Jennifer Elliott informed me that she's going to be resigning from her post. She had an offer to go work back at the county prosecutor's office for full time with benefits, and it was just too good offer to pass up. So she's issued me her resignation. Her last day will be Thursday, February 8th, which I believe might be contrary to the script that you have there. But Thursday, February 8th is what the letter that she has submitted to us states. So we'll be seeking a formal acceptance of that resignation. And then in the memorandum I've provided to you, I've outlined the timeline in which we are hoping to advertise, start holding interviews, hopefully get someone on board. Optimistically, we would have someone back in that office by mid-April. But we're going to try to get the announcements out as soon as possible. I think the earliest we thought we could get the ad in the Dispatch was the 11th. But I've already talked to Leslie about getting out on our social media channels before that, getting it posted to the website. Obviously, the meeting tonight would be a public announcement of that. So we'll start accepting applications pretty much as soon as the board authorizes or approves of the accepting of the resignation.
Let's start with square one. I move to accept the resignation of Zoning Secretary Jennifer Elliott, effective Thursday, February 8th, 2018.
Second.
Has been seconded. Any discussion?
Okay. Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Goodman.
Yes. We wish to thank Ms. Elliott for the work that she's done for us. I understand she's been an asset to the zoning department, and she will be missed.
She will. She did a great job. She got us, we were 4 years behind in getting some of the zoning permits scanned into the Doculex system, and we're just about caught up.
And now we'll fall behind for a little bit.
Just for a short time.
In regards to the proposal that you have here for hiring someone else, if I'm glancing at this very quickly, the number of hours and the hourly rate remain the same.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay.
No changes to the description the board approved last year.
Any questions or thoughts from the board?
I would like, Joe, to encourage you and Linda to, I'm not sure that the Columbus Dispatch is the right vehicle in today's world to seek employees. There's a lot of cheaper, broader-based internet applications from Indeed to Monster.com and et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know how many people are really reading the Help Wanted ads in today's world in the Columbus Dispatch. So if we could look at alternative sources.
Certainly. I'll talk with Linda about that.
Yeah. That maybe even Sunbury News and or the Delaware Gazette would probably be a better, if we're going to use newsprint as a vehicle, would probably be a better, okay, a better source of applicants rather than the Columbus Dispatch.
Yeah, we'll talk that over. Thank you.
All right. I want to explain what's going to happen next before I make a motion. We are going to look at the signs and definitions amendment that was presented to the board a week ago. And what we decided is to come back and revisit this during our trustee meeting. We will take a brief recess and move into a zoning hearing, after which we will return to the regular trustee meeting. As such, I move to adjourn to the Zoning Commission public hearing on signs and definitions, which is ZC 2017-05. Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Goodman.
Yes. We are now in a zoning hearing at 7:32. Okay. I'd like to call the following meeting to continued hearing to order at 7:32 p.m. and read the notice. If anyone wishes to speak to this, I ask that you stand at this point and be sworn in. Okay. All right. The notice is Genoa Township Zoning Commission initiated zoning text amendment ZC 2017-05 to revise, edit, add, and/or delete zoning provisions within the following locations of the Genoa Township Resolution, Article 4, Definitions, and Article 18, Sign Standards, in accordance with Section 2602.01 of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution and the recommendations of the 2016 Genoa Township Comprehensive Plan, and providing for severability and repeal of prior inconsistent zoning resolution requirements, regulations, and standards. And this is continued from January 22, 2018. Mr. Schaefer, would you give us a staff report?
Certainly. So since this is a continued hearing, I'm not going to go back to square one and I think spare everyone who is not as terribly interested in this as I am from having to hear all about signs. So what I'm just going to focus on real quick is I've taken the changes that you requested be made during the hearing that was on January 22nd. I've gone ahead and incorporated all of those. I tried to do what I could in the comments section to note them with a date of January 23rd, obviously was the next day after the meeting that I incorporated all those edits. The comments should be bolded and should basically tell you exactly what was done. I believe I've hit them all. I'm not going to go over some of the real in the weeds ones, just to hit on a couple highlights. The definition of illicit, there was some verbiage there we wanted to remove. I've done that. There were some words capitalized in there that we thought needed to be defined, and I said I would draft up some definitions. Turns out when I went back to the current code, those terms are already defined. I just had sort of forgotten that last week, so there's no need to add those definitions. We're already covered there. And I'm just going to flip through here real quick. I did revise the definition of sign itself. Some of the language was added to address the concerns that the definition of sign could be used to restrict incidental signage or things such as the rumpy trash cans or used to restrict decorations related to, you know, holiday seasons, stuff like that, one-time events. Obviously, that's not the intent. We're not in the business of trying to regulate how you decorate your house for Christmas or the signage on the rumpy trash can. So I did what I could to add some language in there for clarification purposes. Moving ahead, I think the other sort of really big item that we spent some significant time talking about was the definition of billboard, which is under the definition of sign. So if you're on the red line copy, I'm looking at page 4-4, billboards at the very top, item G. So the definition you see before you, and I provided you a memorandum that sort of goes in depth of how I came about with this definition, but I went through and pulled about 50-plus definitions of billboard from the state of zoning codes from the state of Ohio across the country and looked and tried to see what the consistent themes were. The vast majority of them did define them as a sign that is considered off-site. So we had a discussion at the last hearing whether or not we should include the term on-premise sign into that definition. Based on what I've seen and some of the and I consulted with the Andrew King about this definition, and we pretty much agreed that it would be best to really keep this definition pertaining to off-site signage. That seemed to be consistent with how most communities view them. It was consistent with how the United States Sign Council, or I can't remember their exact name, viewed it. It was consistent with a billboard vendor. That's how they defined it on their website. They said there's a common misconception that a billboard means it's one of those really big signs. That's not necessarily what it is. A billboard is a sign that's off-premise from the item which it's advertising. I know that's a little bit contradictory to the whole content neutral discussion we've been having for a long time, but as you can see in the memorandum, from a legal standpoint, I think we're on solid ground there. The Reed versus Gilbert case did not really talk about or overturn a previous case from like 1980 that dealt with billboards, which established that was a legal thing to do, establishing regulations for off-premise signs. So we're basically going on case law at this point, and things could change, but based on the case law and my understanding of where we're at, we can regulate or classify off-premise signs differently. So I run this definition, this revised definition, again by Andrew. He's comfortable with where we're at. I know there was also some discussion about throwing in the words commercial speech and non-commercial speech. Andrew seemed to advise against that. He thought there was some potential issues or there are things that could come up or trouble that could unintentionally be raised by throwing that in there, so he thought it'd be better just to leave that terminology out entirely. We also flipped the definition a little bit, so the fact that the sign is off-premise appears at the end of the definition, so it's really not the primary defining feature. Now we're sort of talking about how it's a permanently affixed sign, typically used for the purpose of directing attention to, and then it goes on and on and on, and then it talks about it's also advertising something that's not located on the site. So that was the big change there. Trying to think, other than that, I think everything else that the board had asked me to change was really, you know, capitalize this, add a word here, delete this extra word here. I think in the Article 18 section, we broke up under 1801.02, the intent purpose section. There was one or two of those we wanted broken up into subsections because the first half of it and the second half of it didn't really relate to each other, so we broke those up. I believe there were some mays that became shalls and shalls that became mays throughout that Article 18 section. So I think that hits on all the what I would call quote-unquote significant changes to the document. So with that, I'm going to conclude my report, Trustee Goodman, and turn it back over to you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this topic? Seeing none, I'll bring this back to the board. Comments from the board?
None.
None? Okay. With that, I move to concur with the Zoning Commission's recommendation of approval and thus approve with modifications Zoning Text Amendment ZC2017-05, dated January 23, 2018, to revise, edit, add, and/or delete zoning provisions within the following locations of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution. Article 4, Definitions, and Article 18, Sign Standards, in accordance with Section 2602.01 of the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution and the recommendations of the 2016 Genoa Township Comprehensive Plan, and providing for severability and repeal of prior inconsistent zoning resolution requirements, regulations, and standards, incorporating Exhibits A through E as detailed during the January 22, 2018 hearing into evidence. For clarification, revisions to the zoning resolution shall be limited only to those specified within the subject amendment document and those necessary to ensure consistent formatting, that is, headers, footers, page numbers, and table of contents. The approved revisions shall not include the comments in the right-hand margin of the aforementioned document. Any existing text within the resolution which has not been expressly modified or deleted within said amendment document shall remain as is. If this motion carries, said amendment will become effective 30 days from today, that is March 3rd, 2018. And this motion of approval is based on the following findings of fact, and that is that this will make us more compliant and clear with the newer case law. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Myers?
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio?
Yes.
Gabbard?
Yes.
Ms. Goodman?
Yes. This has now passed. Thank you, Mr. Schaefer.
Thank you, Trustee.
With that, we will adjourn the zoning hearing at 7:41 p.m., and we will return. I have to do a motion to return. Okay. I think I have to make a motion. Let me backtrack here.
Sure.
I move to adjourn the zoning commission hearing at 7:41 p.m.
Second.
Second. Mr. Myers.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Goodman.
Yes. All right, we are adjourned with the Zoning Commission hearing. I now move to bring us back into the regular trustee meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Goodman.
Yes. All right, we're back in session here. Mr. Schaefer, do you have anything else for zoning?
No.
Okay. That brings us to the fire department. Chief Honeycutt.
Good evening. First order of business, I would ask that you accept the resignation of Don Harper from the Citizens Fire Advisory Committee. Don had taken a job in Colorado, so he's moving, and that's the reason for the resignation.
Okay. I move to accept the resignation of Fire Rescue EMS Advisory Committee member Don Harper, effective February 1st, 2018.
Second.
Second. Seconded. Any discussion? I do want to thank Mr. Harper for his time and service to the committee.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Goodman.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next order of business, I'd ask you to accept a grant from the state of Ohio, Department of Public Safety, at the amount of $5,200.
I move to graciously accept an EMS grant in the amount of $5,200 from the state of Ohio Department of Public Safety.
Second.
Seconded. Discussion?
What will this grant be used for, Gary?
Actually, this, they kind of do it a little different than most other grants. We have to spend the money, then they give us the grant.
So was this for the extractor?
No, that was a BWC grant.
Okay.
This grant, we've replaced some full-body vacuum splints. We've purchased some carbon composite O2 cylinders that we needed, a suction unit for the medic, half a dozen stethoscopes that were needed replaced, and then what's called an SpO2 SpCO meter, which is a meter that hooks into the monitor that measures your oxygen saturation.
O2 content?
Yes. Okay. So all those items came up to $5,200.
Very good.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Goodman.
Yes. Motion carries.
Thank you. Last order of business. This was a late one. Firefighter Peter Isabel turned in finally received his documents for his educational supplement, and so I would ask that you approve his educational supplement.
I move to authorize the 50 cent per hour educational supplement for an associate's degree per Article 15.8 in the International Association of Firefighters Local Number 4307 Union Agreement to firefighter paramedic Peter Isbell.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion.
When will this? I looked at the paperwork, but I didn't see the effective date.
The effective date is per the contract. What it is, it's the pay period after the approval of the trustees.
Okay. No other questions?
Okay. Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Mr. Goodman.
Yes.
Thank you. I just have one announcement, if I may. The Citizens Fire Academy we're open for sign-ups. It'll start in the middle of March. So I'd like to encourage anybody interested, please sign up. We'd like to see all three board members signed up. So,
what night is it?
It's Monday nights from 7 to 9. It runs for 12 weeks, and we cover all the different disciplines that we do. And it's more participation than it is lecture. You'll actually dress in some gear and actually participate in the activities that they kind of give you a little posted stamp view of what we do on each discipline. But
when does this start, Gary, again? What's this starting date?
March 12th, I believe, that's our tentative starting date right now.
Okay. So.
Are we advertising that on our website?
On the website, Facebook.
The fire as well as Genoa's?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So. Very good. Thank you.
That's it. Anything else?
I have one question, Gary. Do you recall how much revenue we've received from our EMS billing for 2017? Round numbers.
Just over $110,000.
And we approximately March we started that?
No, we actually didn't start collecting until June. We started in May, but we didn't.
In May, okay.
We didn't get any receipts till June. So
okay, so
that's where it started.
$110,000 for roughly seven months.
7 months, yes.
So that's pretty healthy.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're still waiting for Medicaid to kick in. Just so we haven't even received anything from Medicaid yet. So
and
we still should be ramping up a little bit more.
And I think we have only had one occurrence of an accidental billing for a Genoa Township taxpayer.
I just had one 2 days ago.
Well, that's 18. I'm only looking at 17.
17, yes. Well, we had two occurrences all in the same time period.
Okay.
Within a week.
So we've got we've got our checks and balances in place to so that that try not to happen?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, thanks. Very
good. Thank you. Administration, Mr. Wise.
Thank you. Before I forget, when there's going to be a motion to go into executive session here in a few minutes, can you add on a purpose to that motion? On top of the for the purchase of public property for public use, the sale of public property. And also, we have Mr. Riley here this evening to discuss the purchase of property for the county usage from township. Thank you. On my agenda this evening was I've been asked to resurrect the forum with the 2017 goals, and the board was going to come back with some of your own ideas for this year's goals. I guess the easiest way to do it is to summarize is to take the existing document and delete off some of the completed items and then add the new items that you've thought of, considered for this year. Give those to me and I can bring them into the form and then bring them back to you at the 15th meeting. If you want to send me those either in person or electronically, is that the best way to handle this?
Sounds good.
That works for me.
Could you send us the 2017 goals for trustees, chronological by month? Could you send that to us electronically?
Yes.
So that we could redline it in electronically and then
sure.
Return it back to you?
I've got it in Word in the office.
That'd be good.
Okay, but that's what I'd like. If you'd like to get those, and I'll bring them back to the board on the 15th.
Okay.
Thanks.
I thought that we had a goal to address the issue of the duplicate EMS services and taxation issue. Carl, didn't we have that?
Yes.
I'm not finding it.
Wasn't it pushed out because it was a multi-year, or is it, unless it's
resolved
on the list?
Resolve duplicate taxation and service issues, October.
You're right, October 17th.
Okay. Still okay. There.
I read this thing three times and
yeah,
I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's on my new list,
all right.
Too.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Sure, thank you.
Sure.
Question? Go ahead.
Not for you necessarily, for Chief Gamble. A while back, maybe 2-3 weeks, a month ago, there was an article, I believe in the Dispatch, it was on the news somewhere, about the issue of people who are doing these deals on Craigslist and all this other stuff, having a, quote, a safe place in which to conduct those transactions. And a couple people asked me about that, said they thought it was a good idea. I thought we had at least encouraged people, that we hadn't formally established the police station or the parking lot as one of those safe zones, but we have talked about that in the past. Could you either refresh my memory or clarify?
Yeah, we haven't
talked about that a little bit.
I don't recall those previous discussions. We've talked about it internally as far as putting some signs up in the front lot and then putting it out through Facebook or email that it would be there. We do have cameras that focus on that portion of the lot. I think the lighting's adequate at night. So, I mean, we're very receptive to doing that, and that's something we could do with little effort.
Is that something that we would want to, I guess there are signs that can be put up. I don't know if we need to make something more formal with that.
I don't think it would be difficult to make up some signs of safe zone and advertise it. I'll talk to my staff and get working on that.
I don't think you need a motion for that.
I don't think so.
I think it'd be just, you know.
But I think it's an excellent idea.
I know there's still a lot of those transactions that go on, and, you know, maybe there's not going to be a problem, but I think just making people aware that if you do have something like that going on.
Now, we do get some custody transfers with parental custody that go on in the parking lot, although we haven't advertised or put any signage up for that, but
yeah.
It's been a practice. But we can move forward towards a more formal safe zone.
And I mean, I think we have to clarify that, look, we're not going to have a police officer out there,
no.
You know, watching over this or participating or anything, but if you're looking for an area that's going to be public and, as you said, under surveillance,
it's
there.
Probably safer than doing it down in Oxbow at night.
Yeah, could be. Red Bank, maybe,
right.
But yeah. Sounds good, Chief. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Any other items to bring forward? Okay. Announcements. February 6th, there's the Fire EMS Advisory Committee meeting at 7 p.m. at the fire station. February 7th, the special trustee meeting at 6:30 p.m. for applicant review of boards, commissions, and committees. That'll be an executive session in the conference room here. February 7th, Parks Advisory Committee at 7 p.m. in the hall. February 12th, the Zoning Commission meeting, and the next trustee meeting will be February 15th at 6:30 p.m. I would now like to move to adjourn to executive session at 7:53 p.m. to consider the purchase of property for public purposes and the sale of public property. Is there a second?
Second.
I would also like to amend that motion to also go into executive session to consider the appointments to various committees, boards, and commissions.
Okay. So amended.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. We are now adjourned into executive session. I move that we now return from executive session to the regular trustee meeting at 9:47 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Mr. Myers?
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. There is no further business to come before the board. Hearing none, I motion to adjourn the regular trustee meeting at 9:47 p.m.
Second.
Roll call, Mr. D'Antonio.
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt.
Yes.
Ms. Goodman.
Yes. We stand adjourned. Thank you.